Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracle of Scott. Hope everybody's doing awesome today on this beautiful Thursday. I call this one the Golden Altar Before the Throne, and that's from Revelation 8:3. And so I'll read that scripture for you. Another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne. And I wanted to also declare Psalms 57:8. Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. And so I wanted to thank IHOP Kansas for letting me use their music. May the Lord bless them and keep them and make his face to shine upon them and give them peace. And I declare that they will have above and beyond all that they could ever think or ask or even imagine to fulfill their part of his story in Jesus' mighty name. And I wanted to declare Numbers 10:9 and blow the recording of the shofar. When you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from every single one of your enemies. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, and by your power, Holy Spirit, that you will reveal to us, Lord, the revelation that we already have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that, Lord, you have already given us a mind to conceive everything that you have for us. It has entered our hearts. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for revealing that to each and every believer. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. That's 1 Corinthians 2:12. That just as the scripture says, we have the Spirit of the Lord, and may we know the things freely given to us by you, Lord God. Let us be those living harps, Lord. Let us be a pleasing aroma as we sing praises and offer our intercession to the only one who is worthy. Let us breathe the expression of your essence everywhere we go. I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'm just going to go in Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2. May my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about the golden altar. No, the golden altar was made of acacia wood and overlaid with pure gold. There was four horns that protruded from the four horns of the altar. And the priests were to burn, we talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago, the priests were to burn incense on the golden altar every morning and evening, the same time as the daily burnt offerings were also done. The incense was to be left burning day and night as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. It was made of four spices, and I can't even pronounce them, but I will try. Stacte, onycha, galbanum, and frankincense. It was holy. And the Lord told the Israelites, don't make the same formula outside the tabernacle, because if you do, you'll be cut off from the people. You know, what about those golden horns on the altar? Well, the horns of the golden altar were sprinkled with blood from the animal sacrifice to cleanse and purify it from the sins of the Israelites. That's in Leviticus 4:7 and verses 16 and 18. Just as the horns on the brazen altar represented the power of the blood of Jesus to forgive us, The horns on the golden altar represented the power of his blood. So as we confess our sins, what does it say? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all of our sins. You know, the incense was a symbol of the mixed with the prayers and intercession of the people. Going up to God is a sweet aroma, and then they mix together. Remember, we talked about that. A sweet perfume, the sweet incense of Jesus, mixing with the saints, rising up to him, to the throne of God. You know, he wanted us to be able to approach the throne. And there Jesus is dressed as that high priest in the high priest garb in Revelation 1:12. Listen to what this says. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And think about this. In Hebrews 10:19, we can go into the very holy place by the blood of Jesus. It says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. You know, the golden altar speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ, our great intercessor before the throne of God the Father. During his days on earth, Jesus prayed for believers. Now he forever prays for us. He is the high priest of the tabernacle, who back in the days of the golden altar on the earth bore the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on his breastplate before God. And he does that. He's interceding before the throne of heaven for us. Think about Romans 8:34. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is setting aside of a former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as it was not without an oath, for they indeed became priests without an oath, but he with an oath through the one who said, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever. So much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. The former priests on the one hand existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. Hebrews 4:14-16. Therefore, since we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so I just want to talk about, we're talking about the harps. And I think I shared this with you, but I just want to share it again in case you didn't hear it. A couple years ago, a girl told me she saw a harp on my hand, and it always puzzled me. It was probably more than a couple years ago, but another time we did creative activations, and another girl said she was going to prophesy which instruments that he showed her were, represented each of us, and they said it, I was a harp. And so that always was like, Lord, what does that mean? And so he started to reveal to me, you know, about the harp and the word of God. And it just really touched my heart to worship. I do. I prayed to be a worshiper. I said, Lord, I want to be a worshiper. I want you to inhabit my praises, Lord. And he honored me for that. And so I want to again go into Revelation 5:8. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding it. This word holding is so incredible because in the Greek concordance, in the number 2198, it means to live, to breathe, to be among the living, not lifeless, not dead, to enjoy real life, to have true life and worthy of the name, active, blessed, endless in the kingdom of God. Life in the manner of the living and acting of mortals and or character, living water, having a vital power in itself and exerting the same upon the soul, metaphorically to be in full vigor, to be fresh, strong, efficient, active, powerful, efficacious. Each one holding a harp. This harp in the Greek 2788. It means a harp to which praises of God are sung in heaven. And really, this brought me to tears. Because each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense. And this incense, this word incense, is so lovely. It means an aromatic substance burnt. Incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, Worthy Are You to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And we talked about it because that fire on the altar in Leviticus 6:12, the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out, but the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. And he shall lay out the burnt offerings on it and offer up in the smoke the fat portions. And those portions were to be a pleasing sacrifice to God. And that represents also the prayers of the saints. And it was the fat portions of the peace offerings on it. In Leviticus 6:13, the fire shall be kept burning continually on the altar. It is not to go out. And that is a representation also of our intercession. And so in Revelation 8:3, another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. Your prayers are powerful. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. You know, each of us can be expressions of his character and living water, his power breathing upon our souls, enjoying real life, his living instruments, his harp. You know, they were singing in praises in earth or in heaven, but we are to be singing his praises on earth, which rise up a living sacrifice, an aromatic substance, a burnt offering, bringing that heavenly incense before his throne. And I wanted to talk about, you know, the prophetic has so much to do with the new song and intercession. prophetic intercession is a lot different than bringing our prayers before him, because prophetic intercession is saying, Lord, what is on your heart today? What do you want us? What do you want us to birth on the earth, Lord? What do you want us to do today as we come into the holy place? Lord, we want your will on earth as it is in heaven. Show us, tell us how you want that done. And so the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and that's in Revelations 19:10. Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the beauty that the Lord allows us to rule and reign with him, to sit with him in heavenly places, to be those harps on the earth so that they rise before the throne. And in the time when Jesus, he releases the trumpets, we have a part with that. And I also want to show you that he did the same from the beginning. We're going to go in 1 Samuel 10:5. Afterward, you will come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it shall be as soon as you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and a lyre before them, and they will be prophesying. And where do you see that today? Well, you're starting to see it many more places, but one of the biggest places is International House of Prayer, where they have 24/7 worship and intercession, and it's beautiful. And if you want to see what I'm talking about actually being done today, please go to ihop.org and look and see where they're doing their 24/7 worship. It's so anointed. And so under the direction of their father Jeduthun with the harp, who prophesied in giving thanks and praising the Lord, that is 1 Chronicles 25:3. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. Awake, my glory, awake, harp and lyre, and I will awaken the dawn. That's Psalm 57:7-8. I will also praise you with the harp, even your truth, O God. To you I will sing praises with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. Psalm 71:22. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed. And I want to say to you that praise is one of the most powerful ways to warfare. And I'm just going to give a few examples in that from the beginning all the way through. Exodus 15:1. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. And Exodus 15:21 shows Miriam the prophetess with the tambourine. Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea. And in 1 Chronicles 16:33, even creation sings for joy before the Lord. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. All these were under the direction of their father, to sing in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the direction of the king. 1 Chronicles 25:6. Chronicles 29:30 says, moreover, King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites, to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph, the seer. So they sang praises with joy and bowed down in worship. And a lot of the worshipers were seers. And so every king had seers and prophets around them to guide the king. I think he still wants that today, don't you? Don't you think it would be a different place if that was going on? In Psalm 7:17, I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. He is the Most High God, and we have to put him up where he belongs, in the Most High place. We will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Psalm 20, verse 5. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exult before him. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. Selah, yes, pause and think about that. Psalm 68:32. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Psalm 84:2. I could go on and on and on, but I won't because I don't have enough time. But let's just do a couple where there's a new song in there. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Psalm 96:1. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Now here's Psalm 98:1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained victory for him. Psalm 138:5. And they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about our weapons. And I know I won't be able to even get done with this about the weapons, but I want to stop real quick because I want to play the song that I didn't get a big chance to play last week. It's called The Prayers of the Saints. And of course, it's called The Song of the Saints by IHOP.
that beautiful? The Song of the Saint. And we have privilege of being co-heirs together with him, co-rulers and co-reigning, seated with him in heavenly places. And I know last week we talked about, you know, one of the psalms of where that happens, and that is in Psalm 149. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. You could probably read that whole thing later, but I'm just going to read pieces of it, which I hate to do because it's all beautiful. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Beautiful, the Song of the Saints. And he says this in Psalm 149, 6, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Well, what is that two-edged sword? It's the word of God to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is an honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Yes, we have that honor. We have the two-edged sword, and we are supposed to be releasing the word of God so that the angels can come and confirm his word. The angels can come and perform his word. And you know, you have to know that you're in him and in the power of his might. And, you know, we have to always make sure that we're inquiring of him and not, you know, do presumptuous intercession. And what I mean by that is just assuming, you know, taking a scripture and assuming that we can use that certain thing without inquiring of the Lord and asking, is it the right timing? Lord, is it your will? Is this your plans and your purposes for this time and this day? Because presumption will really cause a lot of issues. And we have to make sure we receive his strategies and that we send the warring angels to protect us and that we're dressed in the armor and that we have the blood of Jesus as a weapon, the word of God. We have to know that where we're seated, we have to know that the blood of Jesus speaks of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he already triumphed over all the principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. And make sure, of course, that we have forgiven. And we have to know whose kingdom we're representing, and that that kingdom legally has already won the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that this war is a war of occupation. In other words, Jesus already won the victory, but we have to learn to occupy, to know our authority, to know that our King is the King of Kings. Think about Ephesians 1, we'll start at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And Ephesians 1:20, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And then in Ephesians 2:6, it shows where he raised us up with him and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we are, as the church, supposed to be doing Ephesians 3:10.
that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. And Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We have to know that all things are under our feet because they're under the feet of Jesus and we are his body, that we're more than conquerors, and that this fight is a fight of faith. We are his body. Everything is under his feet and it's under ours. Well, who is the King of Glory? The Lord God Almighty. Who is the King of Glory? You know, let's set up banners in the name of our God. And what is a banner? Well, a banner is from Strong's in the Hebrew, 1713. And I'm just going to give you the definition. To look, to behold, looked at, conspicuous. To carry a banner or standard. Set up a banner or a standard. Supplied with banners. There's an army with banners. And there's the setting up of banners. And what we can do is lift up the name of the Lord as a banner. And think about, here's the scripture for that, Psalm 20, verse 5. We will sing for joy over your victory. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. This is exactly what Moses did in Exodus 17:15. He built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." And I really want to read this whole chapter. It's that important. And so we might have to end there and just continue on with intercession. What we're going to talk about is intercession. Then all the congregation, we're going to start in Exodus 17:1. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, "Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do to this people? A little more and they will stone me." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He named the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek tomorrow. Fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill, staff of God in my hand." Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." There's such an amazing picture here because it's the Lord working with them
they're interceding. It's a picture of intercession where they come and help him, and they hold up his hands. But the Lord is also with them, and he's helping them. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of intercession as the Lord, their banner, comes and gives them the victory. Yet it wasn't just one person that got the victory, because Moses needed help because his hands were heavy. And so they supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. And so they helped, and it's a picture of intercession where they helped support the leader's hands, who was representing the Lord, or I should say the Lord representing him through Moses, through the rod of authority, and his fellow leaders, Aaron and Hur, supporting his hands. It's just a beautiful picture of intercession. And as you can even see and hear, the time, it didn't take 1 minute, and I'm going to use this as a metaphor for intercession by saying, you know, it isn't just 5 minutes of prayer and you win this great battle. I mean, just like I was saying about Kansas, and I know there's more than one IHOP, but they do 24/7 worship, and that was after the Tabernacle of David. And so we, as intercessors, cannot think that 1 minute of intercession is going to bring a great victory. This, to me, is a picture of that, because they helped hold up his hands until that battle was won, and it wasn't in 1 minute. And so we have to intercede until we break through. And so I'm going to stop here, because we are going to continue on next week with intercession. And this is going to be a series, because there's really a lot of beautiful pictures of intercession, a lot of beautiful weapons that the Lord has given us. They're all in him and in the power of his might. It's not on our own. And we really have to realize that the battle is the Lord. It's the Lord. The battle is the Lord. And so we're going to go back again to the Song of the Saints, and we're going to go out with that. It's such an incredible song. Thank you for joining me. Hope you can join next week. God bless you. Okay, I might have to start it at the beginning.